Anyway, well, let's get straight to it then. Why don't we go to the book of 1 Chronicles and chapter 14. 1 Chronicles chapter 14, and we're going to read a little bit about that in just a second. And before I read it, here's what I want to just kind of give you a little introduction of what I want to talk about today. Recently, we have had some prayer meetings here at the church at different times, and it's been entitled Let's Talk. You see some of the board there and some of the flyers and stuff like that, and if you've been on Facebook, you will have seen it, where it's not particularly every week, it's just different times, you know, for the last couple of months. And we have a couple more of those coming up. It's here at Main Street. We have one this Tuesday, and then we have another one in December. And the whole idea of Let's Talk is we have different places around the room in here where we want to talk to God and have a conversation with God about things that He wants to talk about or that we want to talk about with Him, you know, concerning our lives and different subjects. And some of that, of course, helped leading up to the election to keep our focus on the Lord and not so much perhaps on politics. And then we had communion this last week, and that's all been a part of it. It's been great. And there's a couple of more coming up. And anyway, Les and I had been talking about maybe doing a prayer retreat about this time of year where we could all go away somewhere, not necessarily for a few days, all of us, but we'd have a few days somewhere that we could go and we could just pray together as a church family and as friends about 2013. Because typically what happens is we get in the busyness of the holiday season, January 1st rolls around, and we're talking about New Year, and then we're thinking, well, what am I going to do with 2013? What are going to be my goals? What are my New Year's resolutions? And, you know, we start coming up with all this. Sometimes, I don't know about you, but a lot of time I feel behind the eight ball on that. Usually it's Christmas and I'm thinking, I don't, you know, and I feel this pressure. Either it comes from if you're in business or church or the news or whatever, to set goals. Does anybody else feel that pressure at New Year? Or resolutions, like I've got to get thinner, or I've got to get fatter, or I've got to get faster, or I've got to get meaner or nicer or whatever, right? But there's something comes along that makes us feel the pressure for New Year's resolutions. Now, that's not all bad. I think it's a good thing. And the good part of it is because God is always wanting to bring something new to us. God is a God of newness. And so, and that's all throughout the Bible. We can see that. His mercies are new every morning. So there's new stuff happening. So New Year is a good opportunity to look to God for some new things that He may want to talk to us about. So with that in mind, that's what I want to talk about today and next week, is that we give ourselves a bit of a head start on looking to God for what about 2013? What about the new year? So that once I'm in the midst of Thanksgiving and Christmas and what have you, that I'm trying to listen and hear God about what new things are coming up for me. What new things are coming up, you know, for your family and that kind of thing. So that's my purpose behind a lot of this message today, is to start to get us in a place of listening. So here we go. And you might begin to see what's obvious in the scriptures already. So we're at 1 Corinthians 14. And I'm going to read from verse 8, a few verses here. Okay. When the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over all Israel, they went up in full force to search for him. But David heard about it and went out to meet them. Now the Philistines had come and raided the valley of Rephaim, so David inquired of God, "Shall I go and attack the Philistines? Will you hand them over to me?" The Lord answered him, "Go, I will hand them over to you." So David and his men went up to Baal Perazim, and there he defeated them. He said, "As waters break out, God has broken out against my enemies by my hand." So that place was called Baal Perazim. The Philistines had abandoned their gods there, and David gave orders to burn them in the fire. Once more, the Philistines raided the valley. So David inquired of God again, and God answered him, "Do not go straight up, but circle around them and attack them in front of the balsam trees. As soon as you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the balsam trees, move out to battle, because that will mean God has gone out in front of you to strike the Philistine army." So David did as God commanded him, and they struck down the Philistine army all the way from Gibeon to Gezer. So David's fame spread throughout every land, and the Lord made all the nations fear him. Now, what stands out in this scripture to me that you may have caught on to already is that twice you can see here, David is faced with similar circumstances with the Philistines coming towards him and they're wanting to attack him. Of course, they're his enemies. So he has two similar circumstances and twice he responds the same way. It says that the Philistines come out and David inquired of God. And then later on, the same thing happens again. And it says, David inquired of God again. Now, this is quite elementary, but a lot of times we miss the elementary and the obvious. At least I do. I think of this scripture, when I was thinking about this, also with the scripture it brings to my mind is Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus is talking about prayer. And he says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. It doesn't mean that somehow we've got to berate God or twist God's arm. What it means is, what I see here, is inquire of God. Ask, and ask again, and ask again. Now, there isn't particularly one time God answers you, and that's the solution for all things. We were talking this morning, a few of us together, we were praying before church, and this is a bad habit of mine, is when I might hear the Lord say something to me, I'll take that and apply it for lots of different things instead of going back and inquiring again and asking him for something new. So you see that what happens is, and this may happen with you, as we're approaching 2013, you might start to think about 2012. I did this last year, and I did this the year before, and I did it the year before. Meaning, I set New Year's resolutions, I wrote down some goals, I wrote out a mission statement, etc., etc. So David has two circumstances the same. He has the Philistines coming out against him and he goes to God and he inquires and he gets an answer. And you may have done that. And then the same circumstance might come up again. And sometimes we just apply what happened last time, at least I do. But what I want to encourage us about as you're approaching this next year, and it can mean for something that's happening right now. This is not wait until 2013, January 1st. It's right now, but certainly the things that God wants to give to you, the new things that God wants to bring into your life, is to begin to inquire of Him right now what it is that He wants to do. Because the outcome was the same for David. He won the battle. But the way he went about it was completely different. The first time God says, just go. The second time God says, don't go, but go around. And then when you get this little sign, you'll know that it's time for you to fight. Sometimes it's easy for us, isn't it, to just say, well, I remember God told me this in 2010 and I haven't done that yet, so I'm going to do the same thing He told me back then. There's a time and a place for that. There's a time and a place to confront our own disobedience and pick up where we left off. But a lot of the time, remember, God is in relationship with us and wants to walk with us. That's what Christianity is. It's walking with God. Jesus buying your life into a relationship with God for you to walk with Him. And so there comes newness in the way that He wants to talk to you, even about the things that you've done before, been here before, and you maybe even heard God before. But He wants to talk again. But the initiative is on us to inquire. And sometimes we just go ahead, even when God has a new way for us, we just go ahead and do it the old way. So I want to use an example of something right here that maybe hinders us from hearing what it is that God is wanting to say to us. Let's just say I use the phrase, and I'm going to use Leland as an example right here. Okay. So let's just say I say to Leland, you know what, I'm really excited. Isn't this a really exciting football season that we're having right now? Which team comes to your mind? The Texans was his answer. Okay, Ron, which team comes to your mind? The Texans, Mike? Texans. Okay, we've got some loyal fans right here. So let me say the question again, and I'm looking at Caroline, and I say, Caroline, I am really excited about this football season. What team comes to your mind? Chelsea. Does anybody know who Chelsea is? A few people in the room right here. Intelligent people, of course, like myself. Chelsea is a London team that play soccer. Football, as it's called, elsewhere. My point is this. I made the same statement, right? I looked at Leland and I said, exciting football season, Texans. For some people it might be Cowboys or whatever. I say the same thing to Caroline, Chelsea. For me it would be Manchester United, who are obviously much better than Chelsea. And you can just go to the league and look at it. The points, they make an argument for themselves, right? Whoever has the most points wins. Okay. Anyway, that's another story. But you can say the same thing, and you hear something, and your mind goes to something completely different from one person to another. And sometimes when God might want to start speaking to you about 2013, He might just open His mouth and make a simple phrase like, isn't it exciting football season? And you take off and He might start ranting and raving about the Texans. And that's not what I'm talking about. I might be talking about Barcelona in the Spanish league. I might be talking about a team in the English league. I might be talking about a team in the Scottish league. Probably not, because it's not that exciting, to be honest. But I'm right. So I think that you get my point. So God might begin to say things to you. And this is the question I want you to challenge yourself with, not just today, but over the next few weeks. And I'm going to end today with maybe an exercise for us to do throughout the next week. And I'm going to do something to follow on with it next Sunday. But before we get there, here's where I want you to begin thinking. What is God actually saying? Because, of course, it's not wrong of Leland to think I might be talking about the Texans. It's equally not wrong for Caroline to think I might be talking about Manchester United. But what am I actually saying? The onus would be on the listener to ask something else, to discover what is actually being said. What is God actually saying about 2013? When you ask Him, let's say you come to prayer on Tuesday, and the Lord speaks to you and says, in 2013, I just really want to bless you. And you make a decision. That means I'm going to get promoted at my work this year. I'm going to get a promotion. There would be nothing wrong with assuming that. So I'm going to put in more hours. I'm going to stay a little longer, get in a little earlier. I know a promotion's coming. God said He's going to bless me. What if He said, I want to talk to you this year about your health? And immediately you go, I knew it. I know I need to lose weight. I tried to lose weight last year. I did eat a lot better, but I didn't do as good as I could. So I'm going to start buying organic food. And off we go. And we know what God is saying, right? Because He did say, I want to talk to you about your health. He might say something. I want to talk to you about your marriage. And you think, right, okay, God, I know. You want me to be more patient? I know I'm not very patient. I know I've got to try and be more patient with my wife, etc., etc., right? You start, immediately you can identify things connected to that statement that you know you need to work on. Or you think you know. But what is God actually saying? He's not necessarily making a pronouncement upon you in that moment. Remember, the bottom line of everything, the fundamental thing we're going after is walking with God. Relationship with Him, communicating, inquiring of Him promotes that very relationship. What if He says something like, I want to talk to you this year about your money and about your finances. Okay, God, I know I got it. I'm going to give more because I've been struggling this year with my money, and it's probably because I haven't been faithful in my tithe. So this year I'm going to tithe more. It could be a number of things like that, right? We start making assumptions about what it is that God is actually saying, and it's not at all what He's actually saying. So this is where it's smart to do what David did, and it says, he inquired of God again. He inquired again. He saw the same thing that he saw before. Here come the Philistines. You might think, well, I'm at the same place I was last year. I'm at the same place I was 5 years ago on any particular part of your life. You might feel like you're facing the same issues over and over again. And it might only be because we need to inquire of God again. Ask, seek, knock. Keep going and keep asking of Him what it is that He might want to do. And I'll tell you why sometimes when I just made these statements right here, we jump to things is, you know how Jesus is that when here's a good example. Is it Philip, I think, comes to Him in John chapter 14 and says, Lord, why don't you show us the way to the Father? He wants a clear roadmap, right? Give me an A, B, C. give me something linear or give me something direct. Give me something that I can really put my hand on. Show me the way to the Father. And Jesus says, well, you already know the way to the Father. Here he goes again. Jesus, oh, give me a straight answer. He won't do it, right? What do you mean we already know the way to the Father? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And then he says, I am the way. The way that Jesus talks with us and deals with us is not the way that we want to talk and want to deal with things. So when he says, I want to bless you, I want to talk to you about your marriage, I want to talk to you about your health, I want to talk to you about your money, his way is not the way we think it's going to be. He's always got a different way, he's always got a better way, he's always got a complete way, a fuller way for you, than for me, than the way that we would assume it to be. A lot of the time, though, we don't find the way because we don't do what Philip did in that story, which is keep inquiring. We get an answer back that we don't understand, or it's a little cryptic. Or I've done it before, I did this last year with my resolutions and it didn't work out, but we don't inquire again. We just try to do the same thing we did last time. I'll give you a little story of my own life. When I was about 10, it's a story of what can happen when you don't inquire and you should. So we're about 10 years old and I'm in this organization called the Boys Brigade. You have the Boys Brigade in America? No, everybody's looking blank. Like the Boy Scouts. Okay. So we had the Boy Scouts too, but the Boys Brigade is another thing. It's very similar to that. So, you know, we would go every week to our little Boys Brigade club and we would do little boy things. You know, you learn how to prepare you to be a man and be smart and all that kind of stuff and be good to people. So I went to the Boys Brigade faithfully every week. But then at the end of the year, what happens is they give you all, we have an armband that you wear with badges on it. I guess the Cub Scouts do that too, right? Okay, you learn how to tie ropes, you know how to fish, you know how to build a tent, etc. Same thing. So you get awarded these badges at the end of the year. And at the end of the year, what they do is they have a big show, and all the parents come and watch the show, and all the boys have got to do some fancy, you know, gymnastic stunt or something like that. And they try to bring in a celebrity to the presentation to give the boys the medals. Well, this one year, now the backdrop to this is my football team, or soccer team, is called Aberdeen. And I was Aberdeen nuts from the time I was about 4 years old. I always got a new, you know, uniform every year and, you know, photographs with my uniform and my ball and all that stuff. I was crazy about this team, right? So I even had a budgerie gar, or what you call a parakeet. I had a parakeet that was named after a football player in the team I loved. That's how, and I had a teddy bear named after a guy in the football team. Okay, so you're getting the picture, right? So I'm nuts about Aberdeen. So our Boys Brigade award ceremony, they're having the goalkeeper from Aberdeen Football Club give us the medals. I mean, it's like, I can't believe it. I don't know who would be the equivalent for a young boy now, some sports guy, you know, showing up. Tim Tebow. Let's say Tim Tebow's giving out the medals. And he's like, I can't believe it. I'm so excited. I cannot believe that his name is Bobby Clark. He's going to be there. And what happens is we also get our medals and we get a book. And they sign our name. He's going to autograph the book. I just can't believe this. I don't have any autographs. So we show up for the day. And I have got my mother to wash and iron my Aberdeen football uniform. I got the shirt, the shorts, the socks. I mean, I'm going to be like Bobby Clark's greatest fan. So we get to the Boys Brigade thing and all the parents are there, grandparents, everyone's there. Bobby Clark is there. I can't believe it. I'm getting changed in the changing room and I'm looking around and I'm noticing the other boys are not wearing an Aberdeen uniform. And I'm thinking, that's weird. No Aberdeen fans here. We live in Aberdeen. It's Bobby Clark is here. And then a couple of the kids say, why are you wearing the Aberdeen uniform? I'm like, Bobby Clark is here. We're all supposed to be wearing white. The Aberdeen uniform is bright red. So I'm the one kid in 50 kids or whatever who are wearing white t-shirts, white shorts, white socks, and I'm wearing a bright red shirt, bright red short. All of a sudden, you feel like the most conspicuous person in the room because you are. Like, oh no, what am I going to do? And here's why. Because when they said, Bobby Clark is coming, that was all I heard. Aberdeen Football Club. Awesome. I know exactly what I'm wearing. And I didn't inquire. I didn't listen. I didn't pay attention to what was going on. And I'm the only one who was wrong. You get the picture, right? God starts saying, I'm going to bless you. And you've already decided what you're going to wear, how you're going to look on that day. You've got a picture of 3, 6 months, a year ahead, what it's going to look like. Finally, when you get that day that arrives and the promise of God comes, you've already know what it's going to be. And when the day comes and you're the one wearing a red uniform and everybody else is wearing white, and you say, where are you, God? Why did I get so embarrassed or humiliated and look stupid when you clearly spoke to me and said, Bobby Clark's coming? Right? And whose blame is it? It's not God's. I didn't inquire again. And it's not that God said anything unclear or incorrect or doesn't hold His promises. It's that we decided ourselves exactly what the outcome is going to be and what this is going to look like. We make assumptions. What if God says, I'm going to bless you, and you inquire again, and He says, this year, son or daughter, you're going to lose your job because that place is not good for you. That's how I'm going to bless you. Ouch. It's not the American way. What if He says, I want to speak to you about your health, and we go to a diet, and He says, no, I'm talking about the health of your soul that you've ignored for years. That might even be connected to your physical health. But what if He wants to speak about that? And we don't inquire. So if we are doing a diet, spending our money on organic food or whatever, and our soul is rotting. And then when we feel rotten a year from now, we say, but God, you told me that you wanted to deal with my health. But we didn't inquire again. Or if He says, I want to talk to you about your marriage, and we're off trying to be more patient or more gentle or more loving or more kind or have more dates or whatever it is that we need to do. And He might say, yeah, I want to talk to you about your marriage, and you inquire again, and He says, I'm going to give you a new job, or I want you to start a new business because that's going to be good for your relationship. Or I'm going to give you a new job. You don't have to do so many hours. You'll be home more with your family, and that's going to build your relationship. It could be anything. I'm just making suggestions. But it might not be the thing that you're assuming that it's going to be. What if He said, I want to speak to you about your money? And you say, well, I knew it. I knew it. I'm going to tithe more. I'm going to do offerings more because I'm going to reap more than I've sown, etc., etc. And He says, no, that's not how I want to talk to you about your money. I want to talk to you about the way that you budget and handle your money and stuff like that, because I want you to have enough this year to go on a vacation, because I want you to be with your family. Or I want you to take somebody somewhere. Or I want you to give somebody something. But we've already made an assumption. In a year from now, we might still be scrimping and saving and not have much and never had the vacation that we've longed for and never had the dates that we wanted to have with our wife or our husband, whatever it might be. Because we took off already. As soon as God said, I want to speak to you about money, we didn't inquire again and say, okay, God, show me how you want me to go about it this time. Like David did with the Philistines. One time He said, go up. Next time He said, don't go up, go around. And so God wants to say things like that to us about perhaps even what has worked up till now. That He wants to bring us a new way. Say, it's worked up till now, the way you've handled your money. It's worked up till now, the way you've handled your marriage. It's worked up till now, the way you've done your job. But I want to do something new with it. So inquire again. Has anybody, especially those who have been married will know this, has anybody ever heard the phrase, you're not listening to me? Come on. I don't need you to raise your hands because I know everybody in the room has said it and everybody in the room has heard it being said. Except for me, of course. You're not listening to me. You're not listening to me. Right? And sometimes when you keep saying the same thing in someone, you can tell that you're not listening. Yeah, and they're saying, I hear you. And you're like, no, you don't hear me. You're not listening to me. Let's reverse the roles on the football thing. Let's say Leland comes to me and he says, I'm really excited about this football season. And I take off and I say, I know, Man United are killing it. Top of the league, what an amazing win they had yesterday. Chicharito coming on at halftime and scoring twice, and he should get a hat-trick. He's looking at me totally blank, right? What are you talking about, man? You're talking Greek, right? He doesn't know what I'm talking about. So I'm looking at the blank look on his face and I'm thinking, this dude does not care about me at all. Let's kick him out of the church. He doesn't care. I'm looking at him, right? He has a blank look on his face, and I'm thinking, he doesn't care about me, so I judge him. You're not listening. Leland's not a very good listener, because I gave him all the details he needed to know to join in a conversation with me, and he just stared at me and he looked blank. And we do this to God all the time. He speaks and he says something and we take off talking. He said, I want to bless you this year. I'm going to bless you in 2013. So I start praying every morning at 6 o'clock how God's going to do it. And I start telling him how he's going to do it. And I start reminding him of his promise. And all the while, God's looking back at me with a blank look. I don't know what you're talking about. That's not what I'm talking about. That's not what I'm talking about. And then what happens is, we start to blame God afterwards that he's not listening when it doesn't start being fulfilled. God, I see that you're just looking blank at me. You're not listening to me. You're not answering my prayers. And you promised that you would. And here we go spiraling downwards. And then there's all sorts of other sermons that could come out of that about then our fear and our unbelief and our rebellion and our control and our manipulation and what have you. But this is where it begins, because God speaks and says something. And we take off and we don't inquire. And then he's given us a blank look and we start judging him, believe it or not, that he doesn't listen, that he doesn't care, that he's not involved in the small details of my life and that he doesn't keep his promises. We'd never say it, but that's what we're sensing and that's what we're believing in our hearts. All the while, it's because we didn't inquire again. We didn't ask and then seek and then knock. Because Jesus is saying, if you ask, you'll receive. If you seek, you will find. If you knock, the door will be opened to you. Your Heavenly Father knows what you need before you ask Him. That's what Jesus said. And perhaps inquiring again would be, if Leland said to me, so how about this exciting football season? I could just say something like, well, which team are you supporting and following? And he would say, Texans. And I'd know right away, he's not talking about the Scottish Premier League. Right? Very simple. Just ask a simple question. So what team are you following? He gives me an answer. And what happens is then you start to build a connection. You start to build a relationship. A point of interest together. That I may not know that much about it, but I can learn about it from him if I ask more questions. And he can educate me. And likewise. Now, of course, we're not going to educate God, but you get the illustration. Is it that our connection begins to build with God when we inquire again? When we ask, when we seek, when we knock, in other words, if he says to me about the football season, if God says to me, Jim, I want to bless you, and I say, what kind of blessing are you talking about? And let God speak again. And he'll tell me what kind of blessing he's talking about. If he says, I want to speak to you about your marriage or your money, and I say, what is it, Father, that you want to say to me about my marriage? What is it particularly about my money that you want to talk about? And let him begin to build the communication and the connection with you. Something that's interesting, a couple of chapters before this in the story of David, I want to read this to you really quickly. And then we'll get ready to close soon. But Saul was the king of Israel before David. And here's something interesting it says about Saul. Saul died because he was unfaithful to the Lord. He did not keep the word of the Lord and even consulted a medium for guidance. And did not inquire of the Lord. So the Lord put him to death and turned the kingdom over to David, son of Jesse. Now, don't get carried away here and think I'm saying that if you don't come to the prayer meeting on Tuesday, God's going to put you to death. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying if you don't inquire of the Lord, God's going to kill you. That's not the point here. The point is that you see that the demise of Saul came from not inquiring of the Lord. But he even thought at one point he was inquiring of the Lord. He was going to the wrong places. Because it says he even consulted a medium. I want to suggest that sometimes we're going to the wrong places, listening in the wrong places for what it is God wants to say. We're listening to the news to fulfill what we think God has said to us. We're listening, reading maybe the wrong books, the wrong radio stations, even the wrong preachers. You could even just come to the journey and hope that it's enough just to hear what's being said here and think that that's enough listening. But there's lots of places where God wants you to listen and wants you to be inquiring of Him again and again and again. And there may be places before that you've heard. There's preachers I've listened to for seasons in my life that I've really enjoyed and grown from. But there comes a time where, okay, I got to listen somewhere else. We've talked about this at different times here. But let me throw some suggestions. Maybe there's an author that you like or a preacher that you like. Maybe it's time to listen somewhere else for the voice of the Lord. That's not to say that God hasn't spoken to you through those people. But maybe there's somewhere else that you ought to be listening. Maybe, and I've done this in the last couple of years, I pretty much turned off the news channels. Because maybe you're listening and you're not hearing God in there anymore. It's not to say that you can't. It's not to say you become, you know, irresponsible and don't care about current affairs. But maybe you're hearing things in there and you think you're hearing the wisdom of the Lord there and you're not. Maybe there's other places to listen. Maybe there's Christian TV channels or Christian CDs or teachings that you've listened to. Maybe you ought to change them and listen for the Lord somewhere else. Maybe there are relationships with people that you see in and around your life where you could hear something and listen for the Lord. Maybe you need to change some of where you're going for advice or counsel or whatever. Maybe there's different places where God wants you to listen that you haven't listened to before, where you can go and inquire again of God and what it is that He wants to give you and share with you in 2013. So I'm going to wrap up here with a challenge for all of us to do this week. I want to ask you this week to take 20 minutes every day, just 20 minutes. If it goes longer, great. But make a commitment of 20 minutes, I'm going to inquire of the Lord. And that doesn't mean coming out with a list. Hopefully you'll have got the heart of what I'm trying to say here. What it would mean, to me at least, would be to sit in silence and invite Him to speak. And say, okay, God, here's 2013 facing me right now. Like David faced the Philistines. It's not an enemy. But here's a new year facing me. Here's a holiday season facing me that can present challenges for some people. What do you want to say to me about it? What do you want to show me about it? And then sit and listen. Just listen. And if you think that God may not speak to you, I'm going to end with this scripture right here to encourage you. That will give you hope and give you some faith for what God might want to do and how He might want to speak. Because remember, when Philip came and said, Jesus, show me the way, he didn't get the way that he thought he was going to get. He got something deeply mystical and very different and much deeper and better than he expected. That's how God is going to speak to you if you're listening. He may not give you A, B, C, D, E, all the way to Z, how you're going to do this. We all receive and we all hear differently. God's going to speak to you in a way that you can receive and you can hear. But there is something that's common to us all, and it's here in 1 Corinthians. If you want this scripture later, I'll give it to you. And this might help you through this week if you'll do this 20 minutes meditating and inquiring. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says this. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. We hear that quoted a lot, as if somehow God doesn't want to show us. But this is what the next verse says. But God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So there's a spiritual way that God wants to speak to you if you want to be spiritual in your listening. If I want to be spiritual in my listening, there is a way to discern and a way to know that's unique to you, that's unique to me, that exemplifies our own personal walk with Jesus. Let's just pray right quick. We'll finish.